In today's news headlines, China has made good on its promise to retaliate against the U.S. for President Donald Trump's tariffs last Friday, as trade talks between the U.S. and China continue to move at a slow pace. Beijing's response to Trump's 25% tax on $200 billion of Chinese imports was to raise tariffs of 20 to 25% on $60 billion worth of American goods, which is set to go into effect on June 1st. As a result of the escalating trade war, the U.S. stock market fell on Monday in what is being described as the worst drop of the year. According to the New York Times, the Chinese tariffs may be the beginning of a harsher response, including, quote, halting purchases of American agricultural and energy products, reducing orders for Boeing aircraft, and possibly even the sale of a part of China's large holdings of treasuries. Trump has enjoyed support from Democrats as well as Republicans for his tough-on-China approach. But Trump's chief economic advisor, Larry Kudlow, on Sunday admitted in an interview that Americans will suffer. He said, quote, in fact, both sides will pay, both sides will suffer on this. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has canceled his announced trip to Russia, opting instead to head to Brussels, where some European nations are meeting to discuss salvaging the Iran nuclear deal. In a terse announcement about Pompeo's change of plans, the State Department explained that State Secretary's intention was to, quote, discuss recent threatening actions and statements by the Islamic Republic of Iran. Meanwhile, Saudi Arabia announced that two of its oil tankers were sabotaged off of the UAE coast on Monday and shared photos of damage to the hull of its vessels. It is not yet clear who was responsible. And in a little reported story, a Saudi cargo ship transporting weapons thought to be used in Yemen have faced protest in European ports by activists. In climate news, newly released data has found that atmospheric carbon dioxide reached a record high of 415 parts per million. The Scripps Institution of Oceanography, which measures daily CO2 rates at Mauna Loa in Hawaii, recorded the shockingly high number. Meteorologist Eric Holthaus tweeted in alarm that, quote, this is the first time in human history our planet's atmosphere has had more than 415 parts per million of CO2, not just in recorded history, not just since the invention of agriculture 10,000 years ago, since before modern humans existed millions of years ago. On Sunday, thousands of mothers and their families marked Mother's Day in London with protests against climate change. The actions were organized by the group Mothers Rise Up, and a march was led by 11-year-old children to signal the amount of time left for humans to take action to address our release of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere. Here in the U.S., yet another Muslim American lawmaker is facing a smear campaign by right-wing commentators and Republicans for being, quote, anti-Semitic. Rashida Tlaib, in an interview that was released late last week, spoke about her belief in a one-state solution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. She said, quote, there's a kind of calming feeling I always tell folks when I think of the Holocaust and the tragedy of the Holocaust and the fact that it was my ancestors, Palestinians, who lost their lands and some lost their lives, their livelihood, their human dignity, their existence in many ways have been wiped out. She added, I want a safe haven for Jews. Who doesn't want to be safe? I am humbled by the fact that it was my ancestors that had to suffer for that to happen, but I will not turn my back and allow others to hijack it and say that it's some extremist approach because they're coming from a place of whatever it is, of division, inequality. Her words' calming effect are now being taken out of context and her view of history being slammed as anti-Semitic. Meanwhile, President Trump has rolled out the welcome mat for Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orbán at the White House on Monday. Orbán is notorious for being an extremist right-wing racist and white nationalist who has waged a war against migrants. In 2018, he said in a speech, "We must state that we do not want to be diverse. We do not want our own color, traditions, and national culture to be mixed with those of others." Republicans were notably silent on Trump's enthusiastic embrace of Europe's racist leader. In New York, 5 years after the police killing of Eric Garner, an officer might be facing some small semblance of justice. The trial of New York police officer Daniel Pantaleo starts Monday and centers on the chokehold that led to Garner's death. According to the New York Times, the case will attempt to answer the questions: was the maneuver Officer Pantaleo used a chokehold? And if so, was the officer justified in using it to subdue an unarmed man during a low-level arrest? Swedish authorities have decided to reopen a rape case against WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange, just weeks after Assange was evicted from the Ecuadorian embassy in London. Assange is facing extradition to the U.S. while he remains incarcerated in the U.K. And whistleblower Chelsea Manning, who was recently jailed for contempt of court after refusing to testify against Assange, gave an interview to CNN on Sunday. During the interview, she slammed the Trump administration for its war on the press.
You know, and I think that ultimately what they really want is they want to go after journalists. Like this administration clearly wants to go after journalists. I think that if the administration gets its way, as it's laid out, you know, in repeated statements, like the media is the enemy of the people kind of thing, then I think that we're going to see that, you know, national security journalists and you know, a lot of disruptive, you know, for this administration press, we're probably going to see, you know, indictments and charges, you know, perhaps indirectly related. And the average American commits you know, there's so many federal offenses. The average American commits 3 felonies a day. So whenever a journalist makes a misstep, I think that they're put on notice now that the FBI and the Department of Justice are going to go after them on the administration's behalf.
That's Chelsea Manning in a CNN interview on Sunday. It's not clear if she will be jailed once again in the coming weeks. Reuters is reporting that Amazon.com is rolling out automation technology to replace human workers with robots in its warehouses to scan and package online orders. The retail giant is expected to install the machines at several of its warehouses and plans on cutting about 1,300 jobs in response. The machines are expected to pay for themselves within a couple of years. On the same day as the news broke, Amazon announced an offer to its employees to quit their jobs in exchange for help with starting delivery businesses. In other tech business news, the ride-sharing company Uber's highly anticipated IPO on Friday fell flat, resulting in investors losing hundreds of millions of dollars. The company was targeted by its own workers 2 days earlier for poor labor conditions. And the U.S. Supreme Court on Monday ruled against Apple Corporation in a massive antitrust lawsuit, saying the case could move forward. Elections took place in the Philippines on Monday, where right-wing President Rodrigo Duterte is expected to consolidate his power in the legislative body. Election-related violence in the lead-up to voting claimed the lives of dozens of people. 12 Senate seats and nearly 300 House seats are up for grabs. The results will be known in a few days. Duterte is notorious for waging a brutal war on drugs that has claimed the lives of thousands. And finally, in Venezuela, opposition leader Juan Guaido, who enjoys strong U.S. support, has openly called for a meeting with the U.S. military for, quote, strategic and operational planning to help overthrow his nation's democratically elected government. And that does it for our news headlines.